From Philadelphia, PA, it's Avenue G.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
A mythical, mirthful, musical place. It's groovy, it's grand, it transcends time and space, and it's a place where anything is possible. Martha Michael is in the house tonight, as well as Mac Jekyll and me, Andy Pettit. Please watch your step crossing the threshold, and welcome aboard. Now, here's your host, Jim Harris.
Thanks, Andy. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the February edition of Avenue G. Today will be a special show because...
Jim, you say that at the beginning of every show. You say that every show is special, but they can't all be special. After all, if they're all special, then in reality, none of them is special.
What are you, a Zen master all of a sudden? I'm telling you, this is a special show because we're going to be...
Martha, stop making all that noise. What are you doing?
I'm working on the cryogenic chamber. That's where we keep our scriptwriter, Mac Jekyll. He's in a state of suspended animation. Every once in a while, we have to let him walk around so we can air out.
Do all scriptwriters hang out in a cryogenic chambers?
No, most of them hang out in singles bars or opium dens.
We keep Mac in a cryogenic chamber because he's so easily distracted. The only way we can get him to finish the script is by lowering his body temperature to near freezing. Then we attach electrodes to the part of his brain that controls writing. Mac, wake up. It's time to thaw out.
Where am I? I had this horrible dream that Donald Trump was successfully running for president. And then I had to give a speech in front of my fifth grade class in my underoos.
Why were they in your underoos?
You're in the Avenue G studio, Mac. Go into the green room and wipe off the frost. There's a pot of coffee in there. That'll help you warm up.
Is it okay if I just stay here in the studio for a few minutes? I have to wait for my feet to thaw.
Okay. Just don't say anything. Remember, you're a writer, not a performer.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'll just sit here in silence.
Okay. Now, if I can get on with the show, which is going to be a tribute to America's favorite February event, the Oscars. I've spent hours and hours preparing for this show, and I just
the
like...
The Oscars? Jim, you disgust me. How can you support an institution as racist as the Oscars? Have you been living under a rock? Didn't you hear that not one nominee for the 2016 Oscars is African American?
No, I don't live under a rock. I live in a hollow tree down by the river. But yes, I know the Oscar awards are unfair, but with all the glitz, I just can't help but love them.
I'm with Jim on this one. I've always been a big fan of glitz.
You two are horrible. You have no moral integrity at all.
That's not fair, Martha. I believe that diversity in show business is important.
That's right. And that's why we have such ethnic diversity in our Avenue G crew.
Ethnic diversity? Why, there's not a single minority in our entire crew.
I suppose that's true. I mean, my ancestors came here from Ireland.
Oh, is that why you always wear a kilt? I just thought you were nuts.
No, Andy, I dress like this to show solidarity with my Irish-American ancestors. You know, when they arrived here, they faced discrimination. Let me explain it to you in this song. The cops are mean, me landlord's mean, because I come from the Isle of Green. No Irish need apply here, a sign that we all have seen. For every claim we get the blame, they set our neighborhood church aflame. Just because we're Irish, they say we should go back home. They say we're always fighting in drunk, unruly mobs. And when we aren't drinking, they say we take their jobs. They call us papes and savage apes and throw us in jail for the smallest scrape. And just because we're Irish, they say we should go back home. I'm handing you no blarney when I declare and say it's not easy being Irish right here in the USA.
Yeah, you're nuts all right, but that doesn't exactly make you a minority. How about you, Martha? What's your background?
I'm ethnically mixed. My family is both Anglo and Saxon.
Well, my people come from Canada. That makes me a minority, right?
Andy, nobody's people come from Canada, unless they're native. Are you a native person?
I could be.
Now, that's not good enough.
What about me, Jim? Some of my father's ancestors were born in Brazil. They were Dutch colonists.
Big deal, Mac. Dutch aren't Africans.
Yes, but they were actually Portuguese who were pretending to be Dutch.
Mac, have you looked at a globe lately? Portugal is in Europe.
True, but they were Moors from North Africa.
But that doesn't mean you're black.
I never said it was black. You were asking if anyone in the cast was an African-American. Technically speaking, I'm an African-American.
I'm sorry, but you're the whitest human being I know. Your father spreads butter on ham. You're so white, you're almost transparent. You were born in Fort Wayne, for crying out loud.
Actually, it was a small farm town just outside of Fort Wayne. My grandfather ran the local barbershop, and my grandmother used to go fishing in a gingham dress.
That's interesting. Personally, I prefer fishing in a lemon chiffon pantsuit. It's glitzier.
You know, I'm not buying it, Mac. You can't be African-American and white.
Now, Jim, don't be so close-minded. You're taking far too much of a dualistic Cartesian view of race.
No, I'm not. What?
You need to think about race differently. We're living in the Obama era, the age of Tiger Woods and Zooey Deschanel.
Who's Zooey Deschanel?
I don't know. I just like saying her name. It sounds like a dessert topping. Nonetheless, I think we should explore Jake's exotic heritage. I think this can be a learning moment.
He's white. What's to learn?
Technically speaking, and not technically speaking, you are correct. But I prefer to think of myself as slightly off-white.
So tell me, Mac, are there any distinctive features of the slightly off-white? Oh, I'm sorry. Is it offensive to refer to your people as off-white? Do you prefer beige or khaki, perhaps?
Thanks for asking, Martha. Khaki is acceptable.
All right. Are there any distinctive features of the khaki culture?
Well, whenever we visited my khaki grandmother, she would serve us a meal of egg noodles on mashed potatoes with corn, bread and butter, and apple pie for dessert.
Wow, that's a 5-starch meal. You khakis must be enormously fat.
Yes. Our entire society revolves around eating butter, typically in association with stuff made out of white flour.
Fascinating. And are there any famous khaki Americans who have achieved great success?
Why, there are millions of us. Peter Lawford, George Hamilton, John Boehner, just to name a few.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I feel better now, knowing that our show better reflects the diversity of America.
You know what? Let's just forget about the Oscars. Those Hollywood people are all a bunch of phonies anyway. They just want PR for their stupid movies so they can make a ton of money, buy big houses, and throw wild parties.
Actually, that sounds great.
But you gotta have big bucks, Andy. Not just that wrinkled dollar you have in your wallet.
Well, actually, I lost my wallet about a year ago. Now I keep my money in my shoe.
If only there was an award show that provided the thrill and spectacle of the Oscars, but without benefiting smarmy jerks. Why not give an award to noteworthy, magnanimous individuals?
Yeah, you could call it the Noble Awards. I can call my buddies at the Writers Guild. I'm sure we could set it up. Hey, Andy, I could probably get you on board as the announcer.
Cool.
Are you sure you want to go with Noble? It sounds a lot like Nobel.
No. Don't change a thing. This will work out perfectly. With my contacts in show business, I'll have it all set up in no time. I'll run off and make some calls. This is going to be brilliant. Catch y'all later.
Is it just me, or does he smell like mildew?
Gee, Jim, why so grumpy? Your Noble Award show is going to be a big hit.
I know. It just seems like the month of February is nothing but a bunch of shallow, manipulative events. Oscars, Grammys, Super Bowl. All just showbiz fluff, as if we as a nation have forgotten the true meaning of February.
Everything in February's phony. Oscars, Grammys, Super Bowl, all baloney. Hey, I got to find something that's real now. I got to search the past and find some wisdom, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good thing February's so short, because everybody can't wait for it to be over.
Yeah, that's not a problem for me. I've gotten rid of February altogether.
What are you talking about? You can't get rid of an entire month.
But I did. I've created my own calendar. I found that having 12 months of the year was overkill, so I only have 6 months.
Just 6 months? What months did you get rid of?
None of them. I merged them together. Instead of beginning in winter, my year starts out in spring, with the month of April. That sunny month is followed by June Lee, Aug-tember, Nov-tober, and then December.
What month are we in now?
Farch.
Farch? That sounds like a skin disease.
So, how many days are there in Farch?
Well, to remember how many days there are in the 6 months of the Andean calendar, you just need to remember this little rhyme. 61 days hath October, Junely and good old November, Decembuary hath 62, Maprel's 60 days of bloom, and Farch's 59 of gloom.
Wow, that's actually much less stupid than I thought it would be. But it really doesn't help me out any, because the only person who recognizes your calendar is you. I guess we just have to accept that the month of February has been completely corrupted by corporate greed.
What about Groundhog Day? That holiday still has its integrity.
Groundhog Day is my favorite day of the year. I celebrate it by eating sausage, kielbasa, and scrapple.
Andy, what are you talking about?
Ground hog. It's like ground beef, except made of hogs. My favorite is made from the ones who live indoors and never get to see the sun. The antibiotics they're injected with gives them that medicinal taste.
That's disgusting. Listen, the groundhog I'm talking about is a large rodent from Pennsylvania Dutch country that's used to predict the first day of spring.
Interesting you should say that, Jim, because I've been working on a robotic groundhog that can predict spring to within 1/1000th of a second.
No, Martha, you're missing the point. We need to follow the traditional practices of our Pennsylvania Dutch forefathers, who knew the powers of a real groundhog, a noble, natural creature, whose connection to nature gave him abilities no robot could ever duplicate. Why, I remember when I was a kid, we'd all go out to the Monashone Creek and wait for the local groundhog, Monashone Mike, to see his shadow.
Those were the good old days. Old Monashone Mike must be 40 years old by now. That's pretty old for a groundhog.
Yeah.
Andy, I've got some bad news.
What?
Monashone Mike tried to cross Lincoln Drive during rush hour one day, and how can I say this diplomatically? He got flattened like a pancake.
Oh, that's diplomatically? You should have said he's going to Groundhog Heaven.
I'm afraid I can't. Turns out Monashone Mike was cheating on his wife and embezzling funds from a children's hospital, so he's probably burning in Groundhog Hell.
Oh, great. Now there'll be nobody who can predict when spring arrives.
Why don't you just hire a psychic?
That's a great idea. I know a webpage where you can post a job listing for a psychic. You interview all the applicants via Skype. I'll just type a request into my computer and see what we get.
I'm not sure about this. The last time I consulted a psychic, she told me I'd end up on an internet radio show co-hosted by two morons.
And you were disappointed because she was wrong?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's right.
Jim, the web posting worked out perfectly. We've already got a couple of applicants. Our first applicant is named Mystic Mona.
Hey, she's my personal psychic. She once predicted I'd have a torrid affair with Hillary Clinton, and that Hillary would dump me just before she ran for president. Then I would be left to suffer in silence, lest I destroy her political career.
And did it happen?
No. Excuse me, I have to go into the green room for a minute.
Gee, what got into him?
Oh, Hillary!
Beats me. We've got Mystic Mona on Skype. Hello, Jim. In order to determine first day of spring, I intend to focus my psychic energies. And everyone in the building must wear crystals on their clothing to harness their magical power.
Jeez, I didn't even ask a question yet.
I am a psychic. I knew what you would ask.
Anything else we need to do?
We'll need to travel to Atlantis. You'll have to rent a boat and some scuba equipment.
I'm not sure we have enough of a budget to do all that, since we don't really have any budget at all. I'm not sure you're right for this job, Mona.
But I would so love to be on radio. I have a book that I could sell. It's called The Power of 15 Minutes Ago.
Yeah, I'm sure it's great, but we have a few more people we have to interview.
Our next applicant is a 15-year-old boy named Ganji Kohlrabi.
Oh, not him.
Do you know him?
Sort of. His family lives down the hall from me. He wants to get into show business. He keeps trying to get me to hire him as an intern on the show. He's a nice kid, but I don't think he's got realistic expectations.
Hello, Mr. Kohlrabi. So, tell us, why are you interested in taking a position with us?
Good day, and may I say how happy I am to be talking with the talented Jim Harris. I feel I would be valuable to your organization because of my passion for entertainment. It is my intent to one day become a country music star. just like Betsy Klein.
While that is an admirable goal, what we're looking for right now is someone who can predict when spring will occur. Do you have any experience with that?
Yes, Mr. Harris. Back in my home country of Hukistan, there are soothsayers who breathe in the smoke of the sacred hemp plant. They become extremely relaxed and think about the future. I have studied them extensively.
Ganji, unfortunately, I believe it is still illegal to breathe in the smoke of a hemp plant here in Pennsylvania. For your plan to work, we'd have to move to Colorado.
Oh, no, my mother is home. Hold on a second.
Ganji, what are you doing? Are you talking on the computer?
Why, no, mother. I was simply looking up some information for my homework.
Don't lie to me. You were listening to country music, weren't you? Let me see the computer.
Hello? Who is this talking to my son?
It's me, Jim Harris. We had a job opening here at the station, Ms. Kohlrabi, and Ganji wanted to apply for it, but I think he's too young.
Of course he's too young, and there is no way I would ever let him work in show business. You people are lazy, and all you do is sleep all day long.
Well, then that's not entirely true.
No matter. My son is not going to be an entertainer. He is going to be like his father and grandfather and work stealing the dried leaves of the hemp plant.
But, Mother, I belong to Nashville. Singing songs like Tammy Wynette.
I've had enough of this. Turn the computer off. You will sell dried hemp leaves, and you will like it. Goodbye, Mr. Harris.
Well, that didn't go too well. Fortunately, we have another applicant. She was a cage dancer at the Goo Goo Lounge in Shantytown.
Oh.
Her name is Lulu Trampiano.
Oh, brother. That's my Aunt Lulu. She was briefly married to my mom's brother back in the 60s.
Did they get divorced?
No, Uncle Gustav accidentally paraglided into a volcano. At least he died doing something he loved.
Do you want me to talk to her?
Nah, I'll do it. Hey, Aunt Lulu, it's me, your nephew, Jim.
Jimmy, I heard you were looking for somebody who can tell the future. I can do that. I used to do it all the time.
Really? I never knew that.
Oh, sure. Like, when I was just starting out working at strip joints, I once told my girlfriend Wanda that one day I was going to hang out with celebrities. 2 years later, I got it on with Anthony Newley in a walk-in freezer at the Russian Tea Room.
That's not really the kind of prediction we're interested in. What we need is someone who can very specifically forecast future conditions. I'm sorry, Lulu, I don't think that's what we're looking for, but thanks for calling in. Everything okay with you? Is there anything you need? Groceries? Medicine?
Nah, I'm good. Although, if you could hook me up with that handsome announcer of yours, Andy Pettit, I'm pretty sure he could rock my world.
Lulu, I think your world has been rocked enough already. Listen, I'm kind of busy right now, so I'm going to have to get off the line.
Okay, sweetie. You just stay out of trouble, all right?
Will do. Bye, Lulu. Martha, I don't think this is working out. We need somebody dynamic and different who can galvanize the American public, even though I don't know what galvanize means, but does that have something to do with spray paint?
In that case, you'll be thrilled with our last applicant. It's Bernie Sanders, a sitting U.S. senator who also has a Ph.D. in meteorology, from Berkeley, of course.
That's impressive. Bring him up on Skype. Hello, Senator Sanders. I understand you do weather forecasting?
Indeed. I do. To prepare for bringing you the weather, I watched your local weathercasters, but I was offended by the inherent sexism in the way these women were dressed. Why does a woman need a tight dress to tell you the barometric pressure?
Okay.
And what's worse, those slinky skirts are imported from countries with whom we do not have a jobs-destroying trade agreement. These are the same countries that have universal health care and free tuition at universities.
Well, I suppose that's true, but what we're looking for is a weather forecaster.
Right, the weather. Well, I can tell you right now that a large stationary front is moving across the Midwest, where I lost the primary because of 6 lousy coin tosses.
The weather, Bernie. I think you need to focus.
Sure. So this cold front I was talking about, it will bring snow and freezing rain, exacerbated by the global warming that is a direct result of the corrupt fossil fuel industry.
Well, thank you, Bernie. It's been very informative, if a little familiar. We'll get back to you in a week or so.
But I forgot to give the dew point.
No one knows what that is, Bernie.
I could explain it to everyone It's easier than explaining democratic socialism.
Maybe some other time. Bye.
So, Jim, which one of the applicants do you think we should hire?
I'm beginning to think this wasn't a very good idea. Hey, Andy, get back in here. We're going to have to come up with some other way of replacing the groundhog. Got any other ideas?
Not really. Maybe you need an expert. Somebody with ancient wisdom.
Why don't you use the paleoneural transmitter? That would help you locate somebody with ancient wisdom. Here, let me show you how it works.
Where did you get that thing?
I found it in a closet when I was cleaning out Dick Cheney's underground bunker in Guantanamo. When I was cleaning out my uncle's garage. It's a device that you wear on your head. Go ahead, try it on.
There's a tag on the inside that says Central Intelligence Agency Laboratory for testing on monkeys only. Are you sure I should be wearing this?
The way it works is, if you point the brainwave flow indicator towards the back, you will be able to receive the thoughts of long-dead people. If you point the indicator towards the front, it projects your thoughts to their heads.
But how do you aim this thing? For all I know, I may end up receiving the thoughts of Eleanor Roosevelt's favorite piglet. That might screw up my brain.
You raise a good point. This could be dangerous. Let's try it out on Andy.
Good idea. Andy, put this thing on your head for a second.
Okay, what's it for?
It's a special hat that will cure your osteoporosis.
Cool. I don't have osteoporosis, but with a hat like this, I'll never have to worry about it.
Excellent. Now, I'll just adjust the brainwave flow indicator, and let's see what happens.
Wow, man. Look at the colors. I see someone approaching me through the mists of time. Why, it's Johannes Kelpius.
Yes, the hermit of the Wissahickon. He's the German mystic who came to the wilderness outside Philadelphia in 1694 because he thought it was the best place to be when the world ended.
Hello, Mr. Kelpius. Is it true you lived in a cave in the Wissahickon Valley?
Oh, yes. My fellow separatists and I lived communally, but spent many hours in solitary prayer in caves.
Andy, ask Kelpius how we can learn the true meaning of February so that we can overcome all the petty phoniness that is destroying this month.
Did you hear that, Mr. Kelpius? Can you answer Jim's question?
Well, as it turns out, I was not very good at discerning anything. I was convinced that the world would end in 1694, but I can tell you that there is much truth to be found in nature. That's where you will find the true meaning of February.
I see. Now I understand. I must seek out my answer in the forest primeval. I shall go on a vision quest.
I think we should turn off the brainwave hat now. Andy's brain is beginning to emit smoke. Andy, you need to say goodbye to Mr. Kelpius and take off the hat.
All right. Mr. Kelpius, I have to go before my head melts. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you. Guten Tag, my son.
Here, Andy, let me help you take that hat off. How do you feel?
Not too bad, although I can't remember what a spoon is used for.
Why don't you go lie down in the green room for a while? You may want to stuff your ears with ice cubes.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. If only I could remember what an ice cube was. Is it anything like a spoon?
Martha, I think it's clear what we must do. We must embark on a vision quest, an outward journey, and yet an inward journey. You will be my spirit guide, like Sacagawea, who guided Lewis and Clark across this mighty nation. You will guide me to the forests of the Wissahickon.
Jim, it's just 6 blocks down the street. You can hop on a bus and be there in no time at all.
Indeed. And you will be my guide to the bus stop.
Okay, just follow me outside. Here's the bus stop. Hold on a second. Someone's driving up in a strange-looking car. I think the guy in the back seat's waving at us.
Hey, Jim, it's me, Mac. Get in the car. I got you and Martha a gig as presenters at the award show.
Really? Do we get paid?
Nope, but you get a gift basket with Fabergé eggs and chocolate chip cookies.
What? Chocolate chip? Ooh. I guess I can delay my vision quest for a bit. I'm amazed that you were able to throw together the show so quickly.
Join me in the car. I'll tell you all about it. You see, my showbiz friends love the idea because the Oscars have just become way too controversial. But they didn't like the name Noble Awards, so they changed it to the Fabuloso Tremendousness Awards.
But these awards still go to people who do good work, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. But we're defining good work in a very broad way. For example, One award is given to the movie with the most awesome depiction of aliens. Another award goes to the actress who did the best job of portraying a super sexy librarian.
That sounds pretty shallow to me.
Actually, it's quite educational. The award that you and Martha will be presenting will be for the best Broadway or Broadway-style show based on the history of the American presidency. The show has already started, so I'll have to drive pretty fast for us to get there.
Wait a minute. If we're all sitting in the back seat here, who's driving this car?
Don't worry. This is one of those brand new Google-designed driverless cars. All I need to do is type in our destination on my cell phone here. Then I just click the button and the car drives itself.
Mac, the car is driving in the wrong lane. And if it doesn't slow down, we're going to hit that old lady crossing the street. Somebody please slam on the brakes.
No need to do that. We'll just drive up on the sidewalk. See, that wasn't so bad, was it? The beauty part is, if the car gets in an accident, the victims have to sue Google, and they've got the best lawyers in the world.
Let me out. This car's a death trap.
Sure thing, Jimbo. Fortunately, we've reached our destination, the TV station where the Fabuloso Tremendousness Awards are being taped. Andy got hired to be the announcer. Hurry up, follow me. You two will need to be on stage in 3 minutes.
Our next award category goes to the best Broadway or Broadway-style show based on the American presidency. I must note that the nomination, which was given to the hip-hop opera Hamilton, had to be rescinded at the last moment. The judges found out that Hamilton was never actually president. And now to present the award, the hosts of Avenue G, Jim Harris and his zany sidekick, Martha Michael.
Well, thank you, everyone. It's really great to be here. Which is to say, I'm glad that we're no longer driving in an insane robotic car.
That's right, Jim.
Andy, what do I do now?
Just read the teleprompter. It will explain everything. Okay.
There is nothing more American than the American presidency. It is so American, it is like eating an apple pie stuffed with hot dogs at the Super Bowl.
There can be no greater expression of patriotism than to perform a stage play based on the American presidency. Actors who portray the American presidents are our nation's greatest heroes.
That's right, Martha. And so I am proud to announce the nominees for the best Broadway or Broadway-style show based on the American presidency. The first nominee is The Forgotten Presidents of the 19th Century. Here to perform a selection live is Marcel Marceau Jr. What the hell is he doing? This is complete nonsense.
No, Jim, it's pantomime. He's not allowed to speak. You're supposed to guess which president he's portraying. Wait a minute. I know who it is. Millard Fillmore.
That is right. Here, let me try another.
I thought he wasn't allowed to speak.
I think I know who it is. William Henry Harrison?
No, that's not it, but you're close.
Then it must be Benjamin Harrison.
You got it. You are really good at this one.
All right. I've had enough. Get off the stage. This is the dumbest Broadway or Broadway style whatever I've ever seen. Who's the next nominee?
Jim, the next nominee is Danny O'Day for his puppet show entitled Joe Biden, The Early Years. Let's see a clip.
I, Joe Biden, may be the son of a simple car salesman, but now that I've been elected to be councilman for Newcastle County, Delaware, I'm going to fight for the rights of all people.
Well, not so fast, you young idealist whippersnapper. I'm Delaware Governor Charles L. Terry Jr., and I run the state. If you want to get anything done around here, you have to make sure old Charlie gets a tip, if you know what I mean.
Are you flirting with me?
No, I'm informing you that you need to give me a bribe. I'm a corrupt politician.
Then why are you batting your eyelashes at me so seductively?
Well, I wasn't batting my eyelashes at you. I lost my eyelashes while setting fire to the house of one of my political enemies.
Governor Terry, wouldn't it be better if you looked deep into your heart and decided that instead of being evil, you should be good? and help the fine citizens of Delaware.
Well, golly, Joe, I never thought about it that way. Why, your brilliant smile and casual demeanor have won me over. From now on, I will only pursue justice, freedom, and the Delaware way. Let's sing a song. With fights over land and boundaries that led to the Mason-Dixon line. English and Dutch, and let's not forget the Swedish. Look at us now, we're doing fine. Lands, disputed lands, reassign some for me, some for you. Sweet Delaware, there are no taxes on our goods. If you're inclined to incorporate, you should. It's easy. DuPont arrived, started to make gunpowder, became a huge conglomerate. His business thrived. He contracted with the army. Before too long, he owned the state. One, we're the first one. Small wonder, we're the first. Diamond State, oh, sweet Delaware. There are no taxes on our goods. If you're inclined to incorporate, you should. It's easy.
This is garbage. Just stop this. Not only is this award show more phony than the Oscars, it's just stupid. I was trying to inject a little sincerity and meaning into the month of February, but this is bizarre and pointless. I'm leaving the stage.
Jim. Jim. I can't believe he just walked off. I'm sorry, but as an entertainer, you are a part of the whole showbiz culture. Actors and singers have a long tradition of being phony. It's their job. Even actors who believe that more African Americans should have received Oscar nominations are ambivalent about the ceremony.
What do you mean?
Look up at the outdoor screen. They're running the live feed from the Oscars. That's Sam Plankton, a first-time nominee who nobody ever heard of before.
Doesn't this stink? Ain't it a bitch? I should be famous by now. I should be rich, but where are the blacks? Where are the blacks? Oh, I've finally hit it big. Now folks know my name, but now they are talking boycott. Say I should feel shame. Oh, where are the blacks? There ought to be blacks. I got a great role. It garnered raves. Why couldn't it come in the same year as 12 Years a Slave. My nomination's obscured with a terrible taint. Surely Chris Rock won't show restraint. Should I stay home from my Oscar premiere without Jada and Spike there? Will Denzel appear? Where are the blacks? There ought to be blacks. Well, maybe next year.
Well, I just refuse to participate in this mockery. I'm leaving. I don't care how many cookies they give me. Come on, Martha, let's go.
Wow, you must be upset. Those are some high-end cookies.
Well, I wouldn't want you to miss out on the Fabergé eggs. Maybe we should take the gift baskets with us.
Sure, why not?
I shouldn't have let Mac distract me from my vision quest. Martha, guide me.
Okay, stand here at the bus stop.
And here comes a bus.
Yo, buddy, are you gonna get on this bus or just stand around in a daze?
I shall ride on your bus, Mr. Bus Driver, for I am on a vision quest.
Oh, in that case, you only pay half fare, except as a new program for spiritual pilgrims. Hop on. If you have a spirit guide, she rides for free.
That's great. See, Martha, now you're official.
All right, but once we get in the woods, I'm walking back to the studio.
Please take your seats and enjoy some samples from our complimentary cheese plate.
Jeez, I had no idea Philadelphia buses were so nice.
And these large recliner seats, they're so comfortable.
If you would like, I would be happy to recite some poetry.
Bus drivers are now reciting poetry?
Actually, I'm only a part-time bus driver. The rest of the time, I'm an English professor. It's all part of the new program that SEPTA has started, in which bus drivers teach college English classes and English professors drive buses.
That's a novel approach.
The bus drivers get the chance to explore their creative side, and the English professors get the opportunity to see what the world of real human beings is like.
Our stop is just ahead. We'll be getting off here. Maybe on the way home we can hear some poetry.
Very well. This week we're featuring the early romantics. Wander lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills. Enjoy your vision quest.
Okay, Martha. Let us go into the wilderness to find inspiration.
How long is this going to take? I have things to do.
We shall go down to the water's edge, to the banks of the mighty Wissahickon Creek. Why, look at all those strange-looking birds floating in the water. I can't figure out why they don't just sink like a stone.
Those are ducks, Jim. You need to get outdoors more.
But wait a minute. I see something weird. It looks like there's a groundhog swimming around with the ducks. Martha, the groundhog is the animal which symbolizes February. This is the meaning of my vision quest. I must speak with the groundhog.
Are you sure the groundhog speaks English? What if only Pennsylvania Dutch he speaks? Maybe you should sing to him.
Yeah. Mr. Groundhog, we're really pressed to find some wisdom on our vision quest. Groundhog or duck, it's just nomenclature. As long as you're the one tuned in to nature, Mr. Groundhog, we've come to you to find the February that's true. Please don't leave us all depressed. Mr. Groundhog, fulfill our quest. Mr. Groundhog, give us a squeak containing all of the answers we seek. Don't have to be like Mike Monashone. If you can show us that this month's not phony, Mr. Groundhog, we've come to you to find the February that's true. Please don't leave us all depressed,
Mr. Groundhog, fulfill our quest.
I don't know who you people are, but my name is Walter, and I'm a duck, not a groundhog.
No, you're not. You're a brown furry rodent. Have you looked in the mirror lately?
I'm a wild animal. Why would I have a mirror? Listen, unless you plan to throw me some breadcrumbs, just leave me alone.
But you're not a duck. Ducks have feathers and webbed feet. You haven't got wings. You're not even a bird.
All my life, people told me I was an ugly duckling. But my mother told me when I grow up, I become a beautiful swan. That didn't work out. So after years of therapy, I've come to accept that I'm an ugly duckling.
You're not an ugly duck. You're a groundhog. I'd like to say you're a beautiful groundhog, but actually, you're not all that attractive, even by groundhog standards.
Pull off, you dumb human. You ain't so pretty yourself.
Walter, listen to me. I was told by Kelpius that I should seek the true meaning of February, and now I've found you, a groundhog with mystical powers. You can tell me the true meaning of February.
Yeah, right. I'll believe that when Mother Nature herself tells me. Well, until then, you can take all your New Age mumbo-jumbo and stuff it.
Jim, I'm not sure this will be useful to you, but I have a magic crystal in my pocket that I found buried under the Great Pyramid of Giza. If I place it on my forehead, I may be able to channel the spirit of Mother Nature.
Well, that sounds logical. Let's give it a try.
Okay, here goes.
Martha, it seems to be working. Your body is glowing with a green light, and you're beginning to smell like peat moss, more so than usual.
Who is it that beckons me, Mother Nature, life force of the earth? And please state your full name and date of birth.
Well, I am James Michael Harris, and I was born September 5th, 1947. I need you to help convince Walter the groundhog that he is, in fact, a groundhog, not a duck.
That's it? That's your request? He's a groundhog, for criminy's sake. Stop wasting my time.
But this is important. The groundhog could save the month of February from becoming phony.
You call that important? With global warming and the glaciers melting, I've been retaining water like you wouldn't believe. Every morning I wake up bloated and choking on smog.
Yeah, well, that's got to be hard on you.
I'm tired all the time. I'm not sure how much of this I can take. And all you can think about is February becoming phony?
Jeez, I just made a simple request. I didn't expect a big guilt trip.
And how come you never call? What, you're too busy with your silly radio show? Why don't you get a real job?
Martha, can you remove the crystal from your forehead now?
Sure thing, Jim. She was getting a bit naggy. I guess with all the changes on the planet, she's having mood swings.
So, Walter, now that you've actually heard it from the lips of Mother Nature, do you accept that you're a groundhog?
I guess so. But now that I'm a groundhog, what am I supposed to do? Not really a hog, and I don't live in the ground.
True. But you can use your power to tell the future. Just by looking at your shadow, you can predict if spring will come early or late. Go ahead, give it a try.
Okay, if it'll get you off my back, I'll just swim over to the shore and stand for a while. Okay, there. I can see my shadow.
See? It worked. That means we'll have an early spring.
Well, just hold on. All it means is that I saw my shadow. You humans need to stop trying to predict the future all the time. Just enjoy every day and every season for what it is. It's beauty in all of it.
Wow. Thank you, Walter. You're a heavy dude.
Excuse me, Mr. Groundhog. My name is Vincent Blaylock. I'm a multimillionaire CEO of a chain of dollar stores. I have recently invested heavily in a brand new casino in Atlantic City.
Vincent, you slimebag, what are you doing here? Shouldn't you be evicting nuns and orphans from the third-rate apartments you rent?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was just chasing some of them into the woods when I noticed that this amazing groundhog fellow has the ability to predict the future. I would like to propose to you, Mr. Groundhog, can I call you Walter, that we should join together and form an investment firm.
But that would be the ultimate in insider trading. With knowledge of the future, you could make millions on Wall Street. And if you get caught, you might end up, well, you won't get arrested or taken to court. Come to think of it, it's a great idea. Can I get in on this?
Oh, what have I done? I was hoping to save February, but now I've corrupted even the groundhog, February's most sacred animal.
I think you're all a bunch of losers. Face it, humanity sucks. I'm going back with the ducks. You humans think you're the highest form of animal. My opinion ain't bupkis. So long, butthead.
Hey, no hard feelings, Walt. But if you ever change your mind, just give me a call. I'm very easy to find.
I'm going to be President Trump's Interior Secretary. Our first goal will be to turn Yellowstone Park into an open-pit coal mine. And then we're going to throw Megyn Kelly into it. See y'all later.
I'm sorry, Jim. I guess you should have found a better guide for your vision quest.
No. Are you kidding? You led me back to nature and to a creature who is totally in tune with nature and untouched by phony human exploitation.
A barren landscape, allowing us to see the coursing of a river, the framework of each tree, a time when nature readies for the seasons that will be, a month for looking forward, that's February to me. The holly berries, bright crimson against brown, geese sailing icy waters in their coats of eiderdown. The finches on the thistle, white tails nibbling on a tree. Endurance and survival, that's February to me. A crystal palace, the stream has left in place. The snow that wears the record of every creature's trace. The cardinal's sentry whistle, self-proclaiming chickadee. Make a symphony in stillness, that's February to me.
Wow, these woods are sure beautiful in February. You can really see the lay of the land.
Yeah, in every direction. Why don't we take the long way back to the studio? We can pass by Kelpius Cave.
Okay, want a cookie?
Ooh, yeah. Life is good.
If you think that the cold weather's wrong, hang in there for a little while. Try to enjoy the month that we're in. It won't be long before spring will begin. Don't stop thinking about February. Don't, 'cause March will soon be here. It'll be gone before too long. Time's moving on. Time's moving on.
Well, that's it for this edition of Avenue G. Today's show was written by Mac Jekyll, Martha Michael, and Jim Harris. We'll be back with a new Avenue G podcast in March. For folks in the Philadelphia area, remember, Avenue G presents a live show every first Friday at 7 p.m. at the fabulous Alma Mater Restaurant on Germantown Avenue. And you can check out all our podcasts anytime at avenue-g.net. I'm Andy Pettit. Thanks for listening.